content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, November 20th through Sunday, November 26th, 2023. The commentary for November was written by Scott Robinson, who has performed at Renaissance fairs, taught college music, and written for newspapers. He worked as a hospice chaplain for 5 years and has been a professed member of the Third Order of St. Francis, a religious order within the Episcopal Church, since 2001. He lives in Philadelphia. The commentary for Monday, November 20th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, verse 4. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make 3 dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." As Jesus reveals his glory on the mountain to his 3 chosen disciples, Moses and Elijah appear and speak with him. Peter, excited, half out of his wits, tries to hold on to the experience by building earthly shelters for Jesus and the 2 prophets. He wants to keep them there with him. But the mountaintop experience cannot last forever. It is not given merely so that we may bask in it endlessly. The mountaintop experience must end so that those privileged to have had it can use it for the good of the world. Just as God told the Israelites in the wilderness not to gather more manna than they needed or keep it overnight lest it rot, we must be content with what we are given and ready to share with all. And now I'm going to read the full passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, verses 1 through 13. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make 3 dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them. And from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground, and they were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." And the disciples asked him, "Why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?" He replied, "Elijah is indeed coming and will restore all things. But I tell you that Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but they did to him whatever they pleased. So also the Son of Man is about to suffer at their hands." Then the disciples understood that he was speaking to them about John the Baptist. And the moving forward question for this Monday, November 20th, think of one of your mountaintop moments. How can you share that experience with other people? Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, November 21st. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, verse 17a. Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you? How much longer must I put up with you?" Here's the commentary. "I have bathed in a public library restroom, slept in the loft of an outdoor theater, hitchhiked, slept in my car, and eaten mixed vegetables straight from the can because my room over a bar had no hot plate. But however difficult life was, I always had a return ticket in my pocket. I could always call my family and return home." Jesus' mission was to live a human life and die a human death. And he wouldn't place a collect call to his Father and be bailed out. He had to bear with us, put up with us, endure us, all the while having nowhere to lay his head, from Matthew 8, verse 20. No wonder he would echo the words of the psalmist crying out, "How long?" That's in both Psalm 6 and 13. How we must have tried his patience. Thank you, Jesus, for putting up with us. Thank you for taking our calls and, at the last, welcoming us home. And now I'm going to read from the full gospel passage for this day. It's from Matthew 17, verses 14 through 21. When they came to the crowd, a man came to him, knelt before him, and said, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and he suffers terribly. He often falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him." Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you? How much longer must I put up with you? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was cured instantly. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" He said to them, "Because of your little faith. For truly I tell you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." And the moving forward question for this Tuesday, November 21st, is, do you need to thank someone for putting up with you? Call them today and put in a word of thanksgiving to Jesus, too. The commentary for Wednesday, November 22nd, also begins with a passage from Matthew, chapter 17, verse 27. "Go to the sea and cast a hook. Take the first fish that comes up, and when you open its mouth, you will find a coin. Take that and give it to them for you and me." One of the best things about spending a decade teaching at a Christian university was that, with a single mass email soliciting babysitters, I would be flooded with offers within a few hours. One student, an avid reader and extremely talented writer, listed among her qualifications that she was extremely good at finding ways into Narnia. She was, too. I'd love to think that if C.S. Lewis, whom we remember today and who began writing about anthropomorphized animals as a child, had written a version of today's gospel reading, the fish would have spoken back to Peter. What do you suppose it would have said about the coin, about Peter, about Jesus? Space doesn't permit as much speculation as I'd like, but I imagine something along these lines. "Strange folk, you humans, In the lake, our whole lives are an act of worship. The whole of the depths, our temple. Now throw me back, you poor creature. And now I'm going to read from the full passage from Matthew 17. This is verses 22 through 27. As they were gathering in Galilee, Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And on the third day, he will be raised." And they were greatly distressed. When they reached Capernaum, the collectors of the temple tax came to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the temple tax?" He said, "Yes, he does." And when he came home, Jesus spoke of it first, asking, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do kings of the earth take toll or tribute? From their children or from others?" When Peter said, "From others," Jesus said to him, "Then the children are free. However, so that we do not give offense to them, go to the sea and cast a hook. Take the first fish that comes up, and when you open its mouth, you will find a coin. Take that and give it to them for you and me." And the moving forward question for this Wednesday is, what do you imagine the fish might say? And now let us turn to the commentary for Thursday, November 23rd, which, of course, is Thanksgiving Day here in the United States. And I hope that it's a good Thanksgiving Day for you. This commentary begins with a passage from the book of Psalm 65, verse 12. "You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths overflow with plenty." The writer of this commentary says, "I love this verse from Psalm 65 so much that I wrote a poem about it. If there were no such thing as food, my flesh would not be hungry. If there were no song, I wouldn't need to sing, nor would I long. For love, if love were not to come, refresh my aching desert heart. We do not want for things that don't exist, though I have known my whole life long a craving to return, a homesickness where I'd be but can't identify. I think it must be God. And though I love the earth beneath my feet, there's something unfulfilled and incomplete in every path my restless souls have trod. There must be soul food somewhere, dressed and carved, my belly full, my soul forever starved." And now I'm going to read from this full psalm for this Thanksgiving Day. And this is Psalm 65 in its entirety. "Praise is due to you, O God in Zion, and to you shall vows be performed. O you who answer prayer, to you all flesh shall come. When deeds of iniquity overwhelm us, you forgive our transgressions. Happy are those whom you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple. By awesome deeds you answer us with deliverance, O God of our salvation. You are the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas. By your strength you establish the mountains. You are girded with might. You silence the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, the tumult of the peoples. Those who live at earth's farthest bounds are awed by your signs. You make the gateways of the morning and the evening shout for joy. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide the people with grain, for so you have prepared it. You water its furrows abundantly. settling its ridges, softening it with showers, and blessing its growth. You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with richness. The pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together for joy. And the moving forward question for this day is there a poem buried in you? The commentary for Friday, November 24th, the day after Thanksgiving, begins with a passage from Psalm 102, verses 6 and 7. I have become like a vulture in the wilderness, like an owl among the ruins. I lie awake and groan. I am like a sparrow, lonely on a housetop. I was in graduate school chanting the Tenebrae service before ever hearing this or any other psalm of lament in the liturgy. Oh, we use Psalms 51 and 32, both masterpieces of penitential poetry, and Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me, on Maundy Thursday. But we don't often hear psalms like 88 and 102. And while a homiletics teacher once told me my sermons contain too much exhortation and not enough good news, I think we forget at our peril that Israel means he strives with God. I feel like a vulture in the wilderness, an owl among the ruins, a lonely sparrow on a housetop, just about every blessed day. I'd never prevail if I never strove, like Jacob, with God. Like the raw eggs Rocky Balboa drank for breakfast, we need to be nourished into fighting trim with the words of those who strove before us. We may not find them palatable, but they will give us strength. And now I'm going to read more from Psalm 102. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me. In the day of my distress, incline your ear to me. Answer me speedily in the day when I call. For my days pass away like smoke, and my bones burn like a furnace. My heart is stricken and withered like grass. I am too wasted to eat my bread. Because of my loud groaning, my bones cling to my skin. I am like an owl of the wilderness, like a little owl of the waste places. I lie awake. I am like a lonely bird on the housetop. All day long my enemies taunt me. Those who deride me use my name for a curse. For I eat ashes like bread and mingle tears with my drink. Because of your indignation and anger, for you have lifted me up and thrown me aside. My days are like an evening shadow. I wither away like grass. But you, O Lord, are enthroned forever. Your name endures to all generations. You will rise up and have compassion on Zion, for it is time to favor it. The appointed time has come. For your servants to hold its stones dear and have pity on its dust. The nations will fear the name of the Lord and all the kings of the earth your glory. For the Lord will build up Zion. He will appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and will not despise their prayer. Let this be recorded for a generation to come, so that a people yet unborn may praise the Lord, that he looked down from his holy height. From heaven the Lord looked at the earth to hear the groans of the prisoners, to set free those who were doomed to die, so that the name of the Lord may be declared in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem, when peoples gather together and kingdoms to worship the Lord. He has broken my strength in mid-course. He has shortened my days. O my God, I say, do not take me away at the midpoint of my life, you whose years endure throughout all generations. Long ago you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you endure. They will all wear out like a garment. You change them like clothing, and they pass away. But you are the same, and your years have no end. The children of your servants shall live secure. Their offspring shall be established in your presence. And the moving forward question for this Friday, November 24th, do you find this psalm challenging to read? If so, why? Now let's turn to the commentary for Saturday, November 25th. It begins with a passage from Revelation, chapter 22, verse 17. The Spirit and the Bride say, Come! And let everyone who hears say, Come! And let everyone who is thirsty come! Let anyone who wishes to take the water of life as a gift. Here's the commentary. God and the church offer the water of life, free without cost, to all who are thirsty. No sacrifices, no self-abnegation, no down payment required. The king in today's gospel reading forgave his slave for all his debt. He didn't even extend the period of the loan. He just forgave it outright. We are given the same offer, with only one thing asked of us, that we, whom the Spirit and the Bride have invited, should also invite others. Everyone who hears the invitation should pass it along to those who haven't heard it, those who have heard and disregarded it, or perhaps especially to those whom the Bride has harmed, the fallible human beings who make up the church. Because, unlike God, we humans cannot say, Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. We need to hear the good news from each other. And now I'm going to read from the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verses 14 through 21, which is the very end of the New Testament. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they will have the right to the tree of life, and may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and fornicators and murderers and idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. It is I, Jesus, who sent my angel to you with this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the Bride say, Come, and let everyone who hears say, Come, and let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life as a gift. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away that person's share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. The one who testifies to these things, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. And the moving forward question for this Saturday is, how will you share the good news this week? And now we've reached our last day for this week, Sunday, November 26th, the last Sunday after Pentecost. The season of Advent begins next week. It begins with a passage from Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 20b through 22. I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you pushed with flank and shoulder and butted at all the weak animals with your horns until you scattered them far and wide. I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be ravaged, and I will judge between sheep and sheep." A seeker once asked the Indian sage Ramana Maharshi, "How shall we treat others?" The master replied, "There are no others. It seems to me that this is essentially what Jesus was saying to those who asked. Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you? Whatever I do to you, or you to me, or we to them, we do to Jesus. In Jesus, we are all one. But when I cut off your nose, I spite my own face. If I butt the weak with my horns, I do so to Jesus. When I shoulder you out of my way to get to something before you do, I have shouldered Jesus. We cannot say, 'Lord, we didn't neglect you when you were in need. We neglected others.' There are no others." And now I'll read from Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those at his left hand, 'You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels.'" And the moving forward question, who do you other by your actions and inactions? How can you rectify those behaviors? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today. The content of this program is intended for those who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Join me for a new program next week. The program is from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org.